One of our documents that came out of the Second Vatican Council, Lumen Gentium, in a section talking about the family as the domestic church, it makes the statement that the parents, by word and example, are the first heralds of the faith with regard to their children. A beautiful statement, I think, for us on this Feast of the Holy Family to sit with, coming out of this Christmas story where angels herald the gospel message to shepherds, where angels herald to Mary and to Joseph the great things that are going to come about. What a beautiful image to then put parents in that place. There's a lot of beauty to it, and yet that statement also kind of stings a little bit when we think about that importance of the family as the domestic church. And as today we celebrate this holy family, we sometimes put them in a place rightfully of honor, but then when we project that onto ourselves, we get a false expectation of what a holy family actually looks like. So in case my mom is listening or my dad on the live stream, I'm not going to critique their parenting because honestly, I think they did a pretty good job in our household of attempting to shoot for this very thing that Lumen Gentium is talking about, that parents be the herald of faith to the children. I remember in various attempts, mom and dad talking to us about the faith, about the church, about their relationship with our God. But one thing in particular that on the Holy Family I always think about was how they created a space every Sunday for us as a family to talk about Mass, to talk about what we experienced that morning. We always, as a family, would go to Mass, we would have brunch, sit down and eat brunch together, and then we would take naps. That was religious. That was exactly how our Sunday went every single Sunday. And if you messed with any of the three of those, you were in trouble. but now thinking back to it, thinking about the conversations that were able to happen because space within our ordinary weekly routine was made for that processing, for the dialogue, for the discussion, the opportunity for our parents to bring up at the table something from Mass or from that week, some way for us to start processing what is proclaimed in Scripture. And I'll admit honestly that most of the time the conversation devolved into something inappropriate for table conversation. But once in a while, there was a real processing of the faith. There was discussion about who our God is and the relationship with us. But most importantly, all of that in the context of the junk that the rest of us were bringing to the table. The messiness of the family and our human experiences. And I think that is an important piece that sometimes we don't look at when we think of the Holy Family. Because we think the Holy Family, there's a perfection to them. And in fact, in our opening prayer, it even spoke about that, I forget the term, but it presents them as perfect, their example for us. But we forget that the example is how they act in those situations that aren't perfect. When we think about a holy family, what is holy about them is that they allow the extraordinary to happen within the ordinary realities of human experience. I love our statue of the Holy Family that we have in this parish. And it's a beautiful image. Christ reaching up, holding the face of his mother. And I love praying with it. And honestly, what I think happens next in this scenario is he reaches up and he pulls Mary's hair and pulls it down because that was real. And he enters fully into the realness of humanity. Their experiences as a family would have been a lot of very similar experiences to all of our families. Yes, the great moments of joy and the beautiful moments of family, but also the stressful, chaotic, the crying, the screaming, the hurt, the leaving. All of the experiences that we experience in our relationships, they're real experiences. The beauty of this celebration is that those ordinary experiences can be transformed into the extraordinary. Because that is the promise from our Father as he enters into the ordinary. As we continue to celebrate this incarnation, the promise that has been and will continue to be. Abraham is this great example of this birth of this family, this promise of descendants. And the faith that is required in that, when it's not looking like we want it to look, when it's not the extraordinary realities that we think and picture when we're talking about a holy family, when we're talking about God fulfilling his promise. Abraham, when this promise is made to him, and God says, look out, go out and look at the stars. And in our minds, we sometimes, we kind of make this beautiful, like, oh man, he goes out and the sky is filled with stars. But the verse that follows says, and it's left out of today's reading, but the next verse says, and then the sun set. And so whatever we're picturing, we need to picture he goes out of his tent to look up at the stars, and there's only one shining in his eyes. It's the sun. He's not looking at this great image of multitude of descendants. And so when that's the reality, when he says, Lord, you made that promise to count the stars, and there aren't stars in the sky right now. It's daylight. It requires a trust. It requires that faith that we know Abraham to be the father of, that our God will fulfill his promise, even if right now it doesn't look like it, and it's hard for me to picture how it could come about. But I trust that the promise is true and that it will be fulfilled. And so when Mary and Joseph bring Jesus into the temple, when they present him in today's gospel, Simeon, what he speaks, he says, now it is fulfilled. We have these beautiful bookends of this promise that through Christ there is this fulfillment of life, of generations and generations of life. That promise that life can be brought in to all aspects and all experiences by the presence of Christ, by his presence. Because he chooses to enter in first and foremost to the family, to the home. That's where his presence is first revealed. And his parents, Mary and Joseph, they know who this child is. And they also know that technically they don't have to present him to the temple. I mean, he is God himself. And yet they go through what is ordinary. And because of that, there's this great revelation from Simeon and Anna. This revelation of who this child is, and the realities of what will happen because he was invited into the ordinary. This year, the Pope has proclaimed that this will be the year of Saint Joseph. And so this feast, what a perfect time to kind of sit with Saint Joseph. Sometimes we see him, honestly, I think, as like the lesser of the three in the Holy Family. And yet for us to sit with him in this coming year is going to be so important, because even though we have nothing quoted to him, we have no record of anything he said, but we have this powerful example of who he is within this family, taking the ordinary experiences and allowing God to transform them into the extraordinary. As I was sitting with St. Joseph in today's gospel, thinking about what it must have felt like preparing for the presentation, to go and to buy two turtle doves, the offering of a poor family. For him to purchase, to buy those doves, and maybe even being next to others who are buying other livestock to make greater offerings. That thought of the temptation for comparison. I am a poor man chosen for this task. How am I ever going to be enough for this child? Those real human experiences that we have are very real and experienced by the Holy Family as well. And the holiness of this family doesn't mean that they didn't experience them. The holiness meant that they encountered that ordinary poverty and saw it as a space to invite God into, to transform it into the extraordinary. That holiness is what we look to in today's celebration. That in the midst of our families, whether we're dealing with the chaos of a family quarantined at home, or whether we're dealing with the heartache of family lost or wandered away, whether we're right now experiencing the joys of family life and the beautiful moments that remind us that God is with us, regardless of what the real experiences are, may we look at them as moments of invitation, ordinary moments for us to invite our God into them so that they may truly be extraordinary and that all of us may be members of a holy family.